Maybe you're the one that that agreed that the friend or the wife or the grandma or whatever really did look 20 pounds heavier in that dress after she bought it. it wasn't me. I didn't do that one, just so you know. But, you know, a lot of the times, guys, we get to a point where we're just thinking, I wish that I would have just shut my mouth. I wish that I would have been quiet and not spoken, because it would have saved me such a world of pain. It would have saved me the heartache that I'm going through right now if I just would have shut my mouth. Yeah, I think we've lost the art of keeping quiet in our culture today. Includes the church as well. Because guys, as Christians, we are just as fast as unbelievers to say a sarcastic remark when we're unhappy. We're just as likely to make a hateful comment that we're going to regret later. And it's sad to say, you know, that none of us are exempt from that. Because all of us have an issue with the tongue. If you guys will turn to Proverbs chapter 17 with me, we're going to be in verses 27 and 28 today. I think it's pretty interesting to take a look through Scripture and see how much it really says about sometimes just needing to keep our mouth shut. Proverbs is a great book if you guys are dealing with speaking too much. Proverbs is a great book to go through to get your heart in check. Proverbs 17, verses 27 and 28, it says, "He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he's considered perceptive." Check out that first part again. It says, "He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit." Now, Proverbs 17:27 tells us that someone who has knowledge spares his words. But really, what's that a knowledge of? I mean, someone who has knowledge, what specifically do we need to know to be able to spare our words? Because sometimes I feel like, man, if I would have known something beforehand, it would have really helped. You know, there are circumstances and situations in each one of our lives where someone has reacted in a very bad way. Have any of you guys been to a fast food restaurant where you walk up to the counter and the server is, that's the last place that they want to be, and you are the last person that they want to see? It's not even the end of the day, and they're wishing that it would be. Have you ever felt like that?
I have.
And you walk up and you're placing your order and you're nice and chipper and they're like, "Are you serious? What is wrong with you?" Guys, man, I've felt like that. I wish I could pawn it off on someone else and say that it wasn't me. But guys, you know, really, an understanding of what's happening in other people's lives really goes a long way, doesn't it? Now imagine this, okay? You're all annoyed and frustrated with that server. You're thinking, you know what? They work at Jack in the Box. They should be thankful that they have a job, because I have an aunt and uncle that doesn't have a job right now. I have a sister and a brother that are in this economy, can't get a job, so they should be thankful. And little do we know that their mom just died. Ouch. But I'll tell you what, if that would have been the knowledge beforehand, that would have kept our mouth shut, wouldn't it? We would have been less likely to say, "Man, what a dummy." A little knowledge goes a long way. A little knowledge goes so much farther than just plain pure reaction. In James chapter 3, James talks about the tongue as a member of the whole body. And he's talking about the power of the tongue. And guys, really, the knowledge that we need to have and that I want to express to you today is the knowledge about just how powerful our words really are. Just how powerful our tongue really is. In James chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, but just a portion of that, it says, "Even so, the tongue is a little member and it boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. You guys know what I'm talking about? You guys know what James is talking about? Where you were having a conversation and everything was going well, and you said one thing and an explosion of emotion. The fire comes out. Husbands, wives, maybe you've been in it. Friends, family, maybe you've been in it. That's why some of us don't like to go to Christmas dinner with our extended family, because it just takes one word. Guys, the tongue is something that can ignite a fire, a passion so hot that it sears relationships. And James says, boy, isn't it amazing how such a little piece of God's creation can do such harm when used inappropriately? Isn't it amazing how such a small little portion of you can cause such a huge problem? After having set that fire, I think we really start to understand how quietness is best, huh? Now, some of you guys may be going, yeah, I know, you know, I know that there are some things that I shouldn't say. Yeah, of course, you know, you shouldn't say certain things. You shouldn't make jokes about certain people, and you shouldn't make comments about certain people, and I shouldn't say this to my wife because she doesn't like it, and I shouldn't say this to my husband because he gets a little, and I just shouldn't do it. But you know what? He said this, or she said this, and I didn't care. It doesn't matter to me what they think, what they say. It doesn't matter to me at all what they feel or how my words are going to react, because you know what? I didn't feel good either. Our emotions are expressed by what comes out of our mouths, right? And what comes out of our mouths is a showing of what's in our hearts. In Matthew 12, verses 36 to 37, Jesus said, "You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And a good mouth, or and a good man, out of the treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasures, brings forth evil things." Okay, let's hear that again, okay, without me stuttering this time. Brood of vipers. Jesus is not happy with the people that he's talking to. He's talking to these religious leaders. He's saying, "You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? How can you, being so perverse, so wrong, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Now, I don't know if you guys caught it, but Tony said that before he got off the stage. And I was thinking, dude, he totally stole my sermon. Just kidding, Tony. It went beautifully. Because how true that is, man. You know, in Proverbs, it says, "A man of understanding is of a calm spirit. And even a fool is counted as wise when he holds his peace." Even a fool is counted as wise when he holds his peace. Think about that. With our emotions so passionate at times, and us not caring, boy, I'll tell you what, man. Have you ever been in one of the situations where you could have reacted and you didn't, and someone saw it, and they're like, "Wow, that's cool." I'm not at all gloating, okay? So don't take that. But at winter camp, we had quite a few problems at the end. I lost some keys to a very nice car in the snow. They're not going to be found until spring or summer or fall. Or maybe never. And I was just thinking to myself, man, my Bluetooth, you know, for my cell phone, yeah, it got lost too, fell out as well. A couple days before, when I was going to teach that evening, I was walking down, slipped on ice, fell, broke the laptop that had my Bible study on it. And I was just thinking, man, this is one frustrating weekend. And to be honest with you guys, you know what? I was feeling like I wanted to jump down someone's throat. They just had to talk to me and I would have been ready to do it. I was at winter camp and I was feeling like this. Guys, okay, so know that it's not just you. It's everyone. And I was thinking, man, you know, Lord, you need to calm my spirit because I want to be mean. You know, I want to express my emotions. I want to get what my feelings are and push them out there. You know, Proverbs 18:2 says, a fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. That's me sometimes. I don't care what's going on. I don't care what the surrounding circumstances of a situation are. I just want you to know how I feel. And I think that a lot of, can I get a show of hands? Anybody there with me? Okay, there are a couple. That's good. That's good. We're so passionate about sharing our own thoughts and our own problems and how angry and frustrated and all this kind of stuff that we are that we forget what Jesus said in Matthew 12, 36 and 37. You know, he said, but I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. You know Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 10? You guys know that, the end part of the Romans road? For if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Guys, that confession, your words, that's a part of your salvation. Your speaking, what comes out of your mouth, guys, affects your eternity. And that makes me think, man, do I really want to say that? Do I really want to say what I was thinking? Jordan Menville came up to me afterwards and said, Kirk, you know what? Dude, I'm surprised that you didn't react the way I thought that you would have that day at camp. I'm blown away that you didn't react harsher. And I was thinking to myself, dude, you have no clue what I was feeling. You have no clue, because it was by the grace of God that I shut my mouth. And guys, you know what? Sometimes there's another video clip that I wanted to show, but it was too long, to be honest with you. But the same movie, Jim Carrey is trying not to lie and win a case. He's a lawyer and trying to win a case and trying not to lie. And so he's trying with all that he is not to lie. And he's shaking his mouth, doing this kind of thing and going back and forth and just holding it in with all of his might, holding in what he knows he wants to say, and he doesn't. He ends up going into the bathroom and kind of doing one of these things, you know. But that's what we have to do sometimes. That's what we as humans, as children of God, guys, we need to do. We need to shut our mouths and say, Lord, I can't do this. I want to speak. I want to express my own heart. But you say in your word that a fool delights in expressing his own heart. That a fool doesn't care what's going on around with anybody else, but only expressing his own heart and his own desires. Lord, I don't want that to be me. Help me to shut my mouth. A man of understanding is a calm spirit. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. I want to get you guys to understand this, okay? Wisdom is shutting your mouth even when you feel like you're justified for being mean. Well, I know that you've been in a spot where you feel like someone's offended you and they deserve to hear about it. Been there last week. What about you? Any of you? Where you're like, you know what? If there's someone that's going to be justified for telling them what for, then it's going to be me. Because that hurt. Guys, wisdom is having self-control even in those times. and even when you're offended, holding your peace. And I wonder, because I'm not a very good example of that, you know, sometimes. I wonder who is a good example. How many of us have clamped our mouths down when we should have said something, or we felt like we should have said something? When someone hurt our feelings so bad that our first response is blood. Who's a good example of doing just that, of being quiet? And guys, I have to say, Jesus. Jesus is. He's the perfect example of being quiet when he could have spoken. You know, the Bible says that actually even Satan tempted him, saying, you know what, just throw yourself off the pinnacle. You can have angels come and lift you up, come and catch you. Why don't you do it? Why don't you show that you are God? Why don't you show that you are King? Why don't you show who you really are? In Matthew 27, verses 11 through 14, it says, meanwhile, while Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, are you the King of the Jews? Jesus replied, yes, it's as you say. When he was accused by the chief priest and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, don't you hear the testimony they're bringing against you? But Jesus made no reply, not even a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. The governor asked him an honest question, are you the King of the Jews? And you know what Jesus answered? Yes, it's true. Then the religious leaders who were wanting to crucify him come up and say, Jesus has done this, and Jesus has done this, and Jesus has done this, and all of them are lies. And it says, he shut his mouth. He was quiet. Wait. They were lying. They were lying. You can't shut your mouth when people are lying about you. Guys, Jesus did. Because the scripture says, guys, that the hidden things of darkness are going to be brought to light. And guys, it's God's job to do that. It's God's job to bring those things to light. It's not ours. Jesus was quiet. And Pilate asked him, are you serious? Are you not going to say anything? Do you hear what these guys are saying about you? And it says, to his amazement, Jesus still didn't speak. You know what's interesting about this, guys? If in a real court, you know, in a court today, if the person that was being accused didn't say a word, they would be going to jail. That would be taken as a confession. But you know what Pilate did? He walked out before everybody and says, you know what? Sorry, guys, you need to let this guy go. I find nothing against him. Whoa. Why? Because his life was an example of who we are to be as Christians. His life was the example. He didn't need to speak because his life was the visual representation of who he really was. What he did outweighed what he said. In Isaiah 53, 4 through 7, he says, surely he took up our infirmities. This is talking about the Messiah, talking about Jesus. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Guys, that means that Jesus paid for our sin. For every idle word that we spoke, for every action and reaction that we did, Jesus paid for those. But check it out. It says, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Guys, this is thousands of years before Jesus was even born. And yet Isaiah the prophet prophesied about who Jesus would be. He was a man whose words were the words of God, but whose actions were actions of love. You know, that's Kirk. That's great, Kirk. I have to say to you, that is fantastic. Great. You know, Jesus was good. He kept silent even when people lied about him, but I don't see that being applicable to me. Really? I could get fired if those lies keep spreading. Maybe it's not God's will for you to work there. Now, I want to be honest with you guys, okay? There is the time to speak. So I'm not saying you're supposed to always be quiet. But I'm saying, man, when you open your mouth, it better not be in anger. It better not be in bitterness or frustration. It better not be used as a knife to cut, but as a tool to heal, as a tool to bring light to darkness. Guys, let's not use our words as knives. Jesus was perfect and righteous, and yet he suffered at the hands of imperfect people. If he didn't deserve a chance to talk back, I don't know who did. But he was silent. He didn't say a word. Talking about holding your peace, huh? Talking about being the man, what it says, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. It says even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he's considered perceptive. You guys realize how much smarter we seem when we don't speak? There's an old adage, a quote that says, "It's better to keep your mouth closed and to be thought a fool than to open it and to remove all doubt." And I have to let you know that I get more stuff out of my 5-year-old and 4-year-old by being quiet and listening to them and looking like I know something than by actually saying anything. It works with my 5-year-old. I guarantee it's going to work with your husband or your wife or your son or your daughter. It says that when a fool shuts his lips, he's considered perceptive. Like he knows something. Like we know something. And guys, it's not just an outward thing. You know, it's not just an outward look, but there's wisdom in silence. When you think of someone who's studious, when you think of a professor, some of you guys may be professors, but when you're thinking about the ideological professor, you know, the thing that I think about is some old guy going gray with a nice thick beard, sitting in his nice leather chair, in his library that has books just completely surrounding him, with the glasses on, you know, reading a book and just being completely silent. That's my idea of smart. And you know what's interesting? My idea doesn't have anything to do with talking. And I like to talk. What does that tell you? Maybe I need to learn something, huh? It says, even a fool, when he shuts his lips, is considered perceptive. And guys, I can tell you with 100% surety that when you're in a spot, when you feel like people are talking against you and people need to be given a verbal beating, shut your lips. Quiet your mouth and talk to the Lord. Because oftentimes, guys, in those specific spots, in those spots where everybody, we're getting a barrage of comments back and forth, when we're getting a barrage of moments of emotions, people looking at us with angry looks and frustrated and pursing their lips and, oh, you know, and all that kind of stuff, at that very moment, God wants to use us to impact those people in a very serious and real way. At the point, guys, when Jesus was standing there and Pilate was asking him, you know, what's going on? You know, who are you? And those religious leaders were pounding him with lies. Seriously? As God? As God in the flesh? Dude, Jesus could have fire, done. Quiet. Complete silence. Ah, that's better. Did you hear something? No, I guess not. He could have done it. But he chose not to open his mouth. And I just think, guys, how much of an example was he in our lives? How often do we look at him when that stuff is happening to us and we say, okay, Jesus, what would you do? WWJD, what would you do right now? Well, guys, we know. He didn't say a word. He didn't call fire down from heaven, even though a couple of his disciples had wanted to do that before. He didn't retort back, oh yeah? Well, your mom. There was no mom joke involved, okay? And seriously, I mean, he knows the thoughts and intentions of our hearts, so I bet you he had some really bad stuff on some of those people. But he didn't do that. He kept quiet because he knew what God's will for him was. And you know what? It was love. Well, how can you show love? By being quiet. Guys, you know what? He could have dispelled all doubt. He could have made it to where he wasn't crucified. And you know what? I wouldn't be going to heaven today if he wasn't crucified. For us that are saved, guys, we wouldn't be on our way to heaven. If he would have opened his mouth, we wouldn't be saved. Wow. For every idle word that men may speak, they will give an account on the day of judgment. Why? Because those idle words, guys, are not spoken with love, are not spoken with understanding, are not spoken with the knowledge of the power that's behind them. Guys, those idle words are used to destroy. And today, we need to be the people that build up with our words, not the people that destroy. In John, or 1 John, rather, chapter 3, go ahead and turn there with me. First John chapter 3. It says in verse 14, we know that we had passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Verse 16 says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. You know, it's talking about loving not just in word and in tongue, but in deed and in your actions. And I have to say, guys, one of the greatest ways that we can love one another is by not saying what we're thinking. So today, make it a point. Because you guys today, after hearing this, you are going to be tempted. I promise you that this week you're going to have someone that's so frustrating that you have to speak. And God is saying, hey, talk to me. Love me. Love them. Keep your mouth shut, because they're not going to come to me with what you're about to say. Guys, this week, let's be the people who show our love by holding back, by being of a calm spirit, by understanding the power of our words, and understanding that we can either use our words for death or for life. And let's make sure that we reflect, and I'm saying this as much to me as I am to all of you, and I need to reflect upon that serious fact that if Jesus would have opened his mouth, I wouldn't be going to heaven. That's an example to live by. You know, if any of you guys need prayer for that, if any of you guys need prayer for, because you open your mouth way too much and you know it, will you raise your hand? Keep your hands raised, please. It's okay to raise your hand. Seriously, I'm not taking count and going, okay, this is how many people we need to kick out of the church. Okay. Everybody that's not raising your hand, stand up. Boy, I bet you're wishing that you would have raised your hand now, huh? Everybody that was raising your hand, keep your hands raised, please. Okay. I want all of you that are standing up to go and pray for the people that have their hands raised. So for the last 10 minutes, we're going to go ahead and do that. And then after that, I'm going to have Tony come back on stage and we're going to sing another worship song. But guys, hey, I need prayer. And those of us who are raising our hands, we need prayer. So those of you that are standing, pray for us. Those of you that are standing that feel like you have a control over it, pray for us. And you know what? We're going to pray for you too, that you guys keep having it. Because I know that for some people, it's a lot harder than for others. So let's go ahead and do that.